Greetings and welcome into this Monday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Hi there, Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host, for this hour of observation, insight, and a bit of absurdity. Hoping you had a great weekend and that you're ready to face another week. Good to have you along today. Thanks for coming in for the party. I think we're going to have a good time today. At least I hope we will. After a rather uneventful weekend around our place, honestly, it was one of those weekends where everything that I intended to do ended up getting shoved onto the shelf and really not much happened. Jane got out for a little while, went to the zoo, which they, with the nieces and the kids, and we, other than that, not much happened. The news was weird over the weekend, as it usually is, if it has anything to do with our president, and the speculation among leftists and the weirdness, the conspiracy theories, it's all been rather entertaining. Nothing substantive, but entertaining. And we'll look at a little bit of that today. We'll see how things pan out, how much time we have for what, and hopefully have a little fun with it along the way. It's the fifth day of October. It is the year 2020, and if you've been in a coma for a while, welcome back to the real world. No, this is not something, this is not a Netflix series. This is real life. Life has gotten so strange. It is almost constantly amazing to me what people will do in political realms to win at any cost with no regard for reality, no regard for truth, no regard for really anything but their desired outcome. And when we look at politics, that's exactly what we have to remember every day, is that every day there is a segment of our society who wants control, and they don't care what it costs to get the control. And it's not going to cost them anything. It's going to cost you something. So they don't care what it costs. They want to deceive you. They want to mislead you. They want to cheat any way they can to get their desired result. And their desired result is control of the White House, the Senate, and the House of Representatives so that they can institute their agenda, which they have, well, it was decades ago they started, but during the last presidential administration, they got a foothold and they did a lot towards shoring their agenda up. And now they want that control back. And they're getting so extreme in everything they're doing in order to achieve their goals that a lot of people in the United States are starting to raise an eyebrow and realize, now, these guys are nuts. Here's an example. There was a story that was posted over the weekend about a poll, an NBC Wall Street Journal poll, that puts Joe Biden 14 points ahead of Donald Trump. 14 points. That, as Mr. Trump would say, is huge. It's big. It's pretty big. Until you look at the reality of the situation. The NBC Wall Street Journal poll sampled 40%. The sample size, 46% Democrat, 35% Republicans. 45% Democrat, 46% Democrat, 35% Republican. There were two other polls. There was the IBD and Zogby polls. They put Biden at 3+. Only 3 points ahead. That's margin of error territory. Their samples were 38% Democrat and 34% Republican, the remainder being independents in both of these samples. Still, they sampled 4% more people, 4% more Democrats, to get Biden 3 points ahead. And still, That's not balanced. It's not correct. The NBC poll was fixed. It was rigged. It was set up. The samples demonstrate the fraud in the poll. But the media ran with it. Fox News ran with it. I shared that Fox News story this morning on social media. So we're seeing right now in America, we're seeing the news media in bed with the Democrat Party, conducting polls which are heavily weighted for the Democrats, and then presenting those polls as if they are fact to the American people. And as a result of this and other things which have happened, the American people have a growing distrust for the news media. Coming from TheBlaze.com, Chris Field writes an article called "A New Poll Finds 60% of Americans Don't Trust the Media to Report the News Fully, Accurately, and Fairly." Now, if you're listening to me, this is probably no surprise to you. If you're new to the podcast, welcome aboard. Hang on for a couple of weeks. Give it a couple of weeks. And then you'll probably see that we see more eye to eye than we don't. The distrust of the American people that they have for the national media to provide fair and accurate reporting is continuing unabated, according to a Gallup poll, which was revealed last week. It's not just Republicans who have long had problems with the nation's TV and newspaper outlets keeping the media's numbers low. Independents have trust issues with the media, as do a fair share of the country's Democrats. A new Gallup poll published last Wednesday reveals that a majority of Americans do not trust the mass media to tell the full story. According to Gallup, only 40% of U.S. adults admit to having a great deal or a fair amount of trust and confidence in the media to report the news fully, accurately, and fairly. And 60% of the adults say they have not very much trust, or none at all. Of the four options on level of trust, those were a great deal, a fair amount, not very much, and none at all. A plurality of respondents, 33%, chose none at all. 33%, a full one-third of those surveyed said they don't have any trust at all for the news media to tell them the whole story. The overall trust in media, 40%, that's the lowest it has been since 2016, when it dropped to 32%, and it hasn't been above 50% since 2003. Broken down by political affiliations, the data is not encouraging for the media. Naturally, Republicans are unwilling to say they trust TV, newspapers, and radio to report the news accurately. This has been a decades-long fight for the GOP. And today, only 10% of Republicans are willing to say they trust the media. 10%. Can I just say about that, that we need to find this 10% of Republicans and give them a wake-up call? Because that 10% of Republicans, they're believing what they're being told by the media, and those Republicans, those R voters, are voting according to what they believe. And if they believe what the media is telling them, then they're not voting the right way, because they're voting based on lies, which they have trusted. Some 58% of GOPers told Gallup they have no trust at all in the media. But the news is not good among independents either. Just over a third, 36%, of independent voters said they trust the media. Even the party seen by many Americans as in bed with the liberal media is showing it has some trust issues. Not even three-quarters, 73%. 73% of Democrats are willing to say they trust the media. Gallup noted that the share of Democrats who said they trust the media a great deal dropped from 24% to 16%. So 73% of Democrats are willing to say they trust the media to some degree, not complete trust, a great deal. That's only 16%. There's a lot of distrust even on the left, for the news media, because they recognize, in part, that the news media is not telling them the whole story. And I say that's good. I'm glad they realize that. But overall, what this also shows us is that there's a lot of confirmation bias in operation here. And the people on the left, that 73%, is trusting the news media because they agree with what the news media generally is saying. And everything the news media generally is saying about their opposition, the Republicans, matches what they think is true. Not necessarily based on fact, not the truth, but their opinion. So the news media, by and large, 73% would say, on the left, is agreeing with or reinforcing what their opinion of the Republican Party and the Republican candidates just happens to be. That also applies to the Republicans. And this goes on a lot. I've talked about this before. Reinforcing and confirming your biases is not a way to make a judgment about things. Just seeking out the stories that make you feel better about your position, that's not necessarily reinforcing the truth. It's just reinforcing your emotions. And emotions are notoriously untrustworthy. So it's always best to seek out the facts. Not just those which confirm what you suspect, but the facts. You see, if you just go after what's confirming what you suspect, then you're going to find yourself out there in the conspiracy theory sites. You're going to find yourself literally out in the weeds with people who believe pretty bizarre things. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I prefaced all of this by saying that there are people who are willing to believe anything as long as it stands against their opposition. And sometimes the reason they believe these things is because those things are true. There's some pretty bizarre stuff that's been attempted. Example, would you have ever in your lifetime before this presidential election period, would you, or before the previous one actually, the 2016, would you have ever thought that a political party would contrive to undermine the candidacy of an opposing candidate in the way Donald Trump has been opposed, using the FBI, the intelligence community, using what we now know is completely and totally debunked and disproven information from a foreign source, spreading rumors about collusion with countries where there was no collusion except on the part of the Democrats? Would you have really entertained the validity of such things? Some of us would have, because we've been around for long enough and paying attention for long enough to realize these people will literally do anything to win. Would you also have suspected that vote fraud would be as widespread as it actually is? Oh, I know. The news media is telling you that's not the case. The Democrats are telling you that's not the case. But they're coming from the same perspective. They don't want you to know there is actual cheating going on in elections. They want you to think, oh, vote harvesting is harmless. They want you to think the mail-in vote is not rife with issues. They don't want you to suspect anything because they want things to turn out a specific way, and they know that they can make that happen if you don't acknowledge the problems with the way they want things done. And up until the last few years, many of us would not have even thought twice about such a thing. But now we're all scratching our heads and saying, whoa! Welcome back. It's the Monday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. for Monday, the fifth day of October 2020. We were talking about public perception. We touched on the poll that puts Biden 14 points ahead and debunked that because the poll sampling was dishonest. And we also talked about another poll that finds that 60% of Americans don't trust the media to report the news fully, accurately, and fairly. And that includes Democrats. So the news media is not doing itself any favors. Trust me. And one of the things that we're seeing reported right now in the news media is, is a lot of, how can I put this? Hate. I guess that's the only way I can put it. There's a lot of hate for our president and the way he is handling his COVID-19 infection. I think it's really fascinating to look at how this is playing out. We're watching not only people in the news, commentators on the cable news networks, but the usual suspects on the left. People like Michael Moore, Bette Midler, the lunatics. We're watching these people accuse President Trump of either faking his illness or faking feeling better. And that's an interesting thing. They don't like his photos and the videos. They don't like the fact that he went out in the limo to wave at supporters. They're screaming about him endangering the lives of Secret Service agents, ignoring the fact that it's kind of what they signed up for. They knew going in. I mean, that's part of the job. It's why they wear bulletproof material and carry guns. And they're all wearing masks. And so was he. But before we get into any more of that, I want to touch on why he does these things. But first, let's listen to what he had to say from Walter Reed Hospital. There's a couple of videos, and I want to play you the audio from both of these videos, starting with the first one. From when was this? Oh, well, I don't know when it was. Let's see here. And of course, as soon as I do this, it's funny how Twitter mutes everything. I open it and it's muted. Here we go.
I want to begin by thanking all of the incredible medical professionals, the doctors, the nurses, everybody at Walter Reed Medical Center. I think it's the finest in the world for the incredible job they've been doing. I came here, wasn't feeling so well. I feel much better now. We're working hard to get me all the way back. I have to be back because we still have to make America great again. We've done an awfully good job of that, but we still have steps to go and we have to finish that job. And I'll be back. I think I'll be back soon. And I look forward to finishing up the campaign the way it was started and the way we've been doing and the kind of numbers that we've been doing. We've been so proud of it. But this was something that happened, and it's happened to millions of people all over the world, and I'm fighting for them, not just in the U.S. I'm fighting for them all over the world. We're going to beat this coronavirus or whatever you want to call it, and we're going to beat it soundly. So many things have happened. If you look at the therapeutics, which I'm taking right now, some of them, and others are coming out soon that are looking like frankly, they're miracles, if you want to know the truth. They're miracles. People criticize me when I say that. But we have things happening that look like they're miracles coming down from God. So I just want to tell you that I'm starting to feel good. You don't know over the next period of a few days. I guess that's the real test. So we'll be seeing what happens over those next couple of days. I just want to be so thankful for all of the support I've seen, whether it's on television or reading about it. I most of all appreciate what's been said by the American people, by almost a bipartisan consensus of American people. It's a beautiful thing to see, and I very much appreciate it, and I won't forget it. I promise you that. I also want to thank the leaders of the world for their condolences, and they know what we're going through. They know what, as your leader, what I have to go through. But I had no choice because I just didn't want to stay in the White House. I was given that alternative. Stay in the White House, lock yourself in, don't ever leave, don't even go to the Oval Office. Just stay upstairs and enjoy it. Don't see people, don't talk to people, and just be done with it. And I can't do that. I had to be out front, and this is America. This is the United States. This is the greatest country in the world. This is the most powerful country in the world. I can't be locked up in a room upstairs and totally safe and just say, hey, whatever happens, happens. I can't do that. We have to confront problems. As a leader, you have to confront problems. There's never been a great leader that would have done that. So that's where it is. I'm doing well. I want to thank everybody. Our First Lady is doing very well. Melania asked me to say something as to the respect that she has for our country, the love that she has for our country. And we're both doing well. Melania is really handling it very nicely. As you've probably read, she's slightly younger than me, just a little tiny bit. And therefore, just we know the disease, we know the situation with age versus younger people. And Melania is handling it statistically like it's supposed to be handled. And that makes me very happy, and it makes the country very happy. But I'm also doing well, and I think we're going to have a very good result. Again, over the next few days, we're going to probably know for sure. So I just want to thank everybody out there, everybody, all over the world, specifically the United States. The outpouring of love has been incredible. I will never forget. Thank you very much. Mm.
President Donald Trump from Walter Reed Medical Center. And he had great things to say. Funny thing about Melania being younger, but he had great things to say. And there's a reason he's doing this, and I want to get in on that in just a couple of minutes. But before I do that, let's take a look at what he had to say in the next video.
We're getting great reports from the doctors. This is an incredible hospital, Walter Reed. The work they do is just absolutely amazing, and I want to thank them all, the nurses, the doctors, everybody here. I've also gotten to meet some of the soldiers and the first responders, and what a group. I also think we're going to pay a little surprise to some of the great patriots that we have out on the street. And they've been out there for a long time, and they've got Trump flags, and they love our country. So I'm not telling anybody but you, but I'm about to make a little surprise visit. So perhaps I'll get there before you get to see me. But I just, when I look at the enthusiasm, and we have enthusiasm like probably nobody's ever had. Our people that love the job we're doing, we have more enthusiasm than maybe anybody. So it's been a very interesting journey. I learned a lot about COVID. I learned it by really going to school. This is the real school. This isn't the let's read the book school. And I get it, and I understand it. And it's a very interesting thing, and I'm going to be letting you know about it. In the meantime, we love the USA, and we love what's happening. Thank you.
Hmm. Interesting to note that he says he's going to school. And I think that's one reason that people are saying, oh, he's faking this. He staged it. He's faked his illness, or he's faking feeling better. And I don't think so. I don't think so. We're getting statements from medical people. And I think it's interesting that the leftists in media, in news media, and on social media are criticizing his doctors for not being up front. Well, the first thing I thought of was, well, one, it's none of your business what his health is, quite frankly. As a nation, we are concerned, but the doctors don't owe you anything. In fact, they actually swear an oath, and it's illegal to talk about some things. So, no, the doctors can't be completely upfront and honest with you about some things. So get over yourself, okay? It's just nuts. But why would President Trump post photos of himself working? Why would he go outside and visit supporters? Well, that's easy. It's not to tick off the left. It's not to show the news media anything. It's because he must not show weakness or vulnerability to foreign nations with nefarious intent. He's the president of the United States, the greatest country, the strongest country in the free world. He is the one person that people around the world look to for safety and security, because the way he leads is what gives them confidence or lack of confidence in their particular situations, not just here. He must not show weakness or vulnerability. Not only does he face opposition from delusional leftists here in the U.S., there are nations looking for weaknesses to exploit, not only against us, but others. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast. And we're back. Before we move on, touching back on the previous about the president paying a visit to the supporters outside. Did you know he also bought pizza for everybody? Yeah. He bought pizza for everybody. I don't care who you are. That's awesome. Oh, man. Okay, back to what I was talking about before. It's a position of strength, a show of strength, to show yourself working while in the hospital. It's a position or show of strength to get in the car and do a lap around the hospital and wave at your supporters outside. It's a show of strength. And to see it as anything else is to be honestly delusional. This is why these things are done. And please, don't try to tell me that Barack Obama would not have done the same thing if he had come down with something and was recovering and was looking good. He's really over the hump in the battle. Even if he wasn't, then again, he might not have, because he does have that progressive mentality. Playing the victim might be good for him. I'm so sick, you need to support me. That probably would have been the way he played it. But there have been others in our history who would have shown the same strength. We've had other presidents who actually were in really bad shape, and people all around them were making decisions, and their presidents and those presidents would step up and make a speech, and that's all the strength they had. So to see Donald Trump working on paperwork and getting in a car and taking a spin around the hospital to show support for the supporters shouldn't be an issue at all. But it's being made an issue by people on the left. Remember, China, Russia, other nations around the world don't want us to do well, because we represent the only opposing force to their ideology around the globe. We're what's keeping them from spreading and doing harm to more people, to more nations. And they have to see our leader doing well. Has to happen. Now, when it comes to how the people really feel, I think it's interesting to go to someone who was actually outside the hospital and hear what she had to say about why she was there and why the people were gathered outside. And fortunately, somebody walked up to her. Somebody from Breitbart News with a microphone walked up and asked her a couple of questions.
Why are you here out supporting the president?
Because when half of our country did not have anyone to speak for them, Donald Trump had the courage and backbone, despite persecution, to speak for us and have commonsensical stances on major issues that we were not represented with. So the least we can do when he suffered so much to represent us is to come out here and let him know that the love for him is so great, and we don't always have the media megaphone like hatred does, but we're enormous. We love him. To give someone a voice is a very personal thing. It's one of the greatest gifts you can give someone, and he's given half of our country that. And I'm sorry.
Much love.
It's personal. The love for him is personal, and when people attack his presidency, they attack my voice and my vote, which is my most sacred freedom as an American. So this is personal, and that I consider him family at this point. Trump 2020.
If you could talk to Trump right now, what would you tell him?
Thank you so much for what you've gone through on behalf of me and so many Americans. As you can see, the love for you is enormous, and there's not even words to say thank you enough. You're not just my president, you're an American hero, and we love you so, so much.
Wow. That's powerful. And she got emotional in the midst of it, and she showed us how she really sees things. She of course feels things, but she's also seeing things, I think, rather clearly. And here's a guy who decided to step away from everything which has in the past made him wealthy and famous, and really suffer the slings and arrows of leftist lies, because they recognized immediately what a threat he was. And he's standing up for the rights of Americans who appreciate, who understand and appreciate those rights. And he's in the hospital. He's infected with something that the news media has told us is deadly, deadly, deadly. They have frightened Americans so much. And that is why that fear, that's why you see people such as on The View, you see people on the morning head talk, the talking head shows on the news networks. You see these people, the commentators on the weekend news shows. You see all of these people talking about the deadliness of this disease and playing up the fact that, oh, he put the lives of Secret Service agents in danger by having them in the car with him, and he's infected. That's why they are approaching this from that angle, is they're playing this out as to be something like the Black Plague or something that is going to infect and kill millions and millions of people in the United States alone if it's not put under proper, if it's not handled properly, and he's not handling things properly. It's all his fault because he wouldn't wear masks. It's all, this is the whole thing with them, is they believe and they want you to believe that COVID-19 is much, much deadlier than it actually is. We have 6 months or more of study. We have medical research. We have not only anecdotal, but we have real scientific research on this particular, this virus and what it does and how to fight it. We know a lot more about it now than we did at the beginning. One of those things that we know is that what's passing around right now isn't as strong as it was in the beginning, because the virus is mutating, and that mutation is making it less dangerous. We're watching America come back to life, and we're watching Americans realize that things aren't as bad as they've been told. So they're playing this badly. They're playing it as though it is something horrific, which is going to do amazing amounts of damage to people around the world. And that, in that, they're being dishonest. Because of what I've already said, we're on the downside. We're on the backside of the curve. Things are actually getting better. But they want people to believe the worst because that's politically expedient for them. It's beneficial for them. Because that's the only way they can persuade people to go along with their vote-by-mail scheme. It's the only way they can succeed in wrestling the vote away from the majority of people who we're seeing are really behind President Trump. They know that unless they frighten Americans, there is no chance for them to win in this upcoming election. And I'll tell you something. That should make you very angry. Very angry. Over at WayneDupree.com, there's an article. It's called "The Media is Pushing Dangerous Conspiracy Theory." And I want to share that with you real quickly before we hit the break. Our fake news media is the most dangerous and disgusting organization in the United States. It's just so sickening and corrupt, and every day these ghouls sink to new, unthinkable lows. After floating conspiracies that Trump was pretending to be sick with COVID, the media and left have switched gears and are now claiming that Trump is gravely ill. Of course, they're citing sources again. You know, those people who've gotten everything under the sun completely wrong for 5 years now. But just when you think these scum suckers can't get away and get any scuzzier, they say, "Hey, hold my swamps, guz," and really blow it up. This is one of those times. The fake news media, who are so consumed by Stage 5 TDS and is programmed to take down Trump, is now claiming through those sources of theirs that Trump is actually terribly ill and insiders are scared and nervous. And the reports coming out of the White House on his health updates are covering up the truth. They're acting as if he can barely walk, but managed to take a few steps and stumble onto the plane for show. While fake sources claim Trump is having trouble breathing, the doctors say he hasn't needed oxygen. They're behaving like a pack of hungry vultures right now, using anonymous emails sent to them as proof, not what the actual doctors are saying. There are reporters literally discussing the transfer of power to Mike Pence. Are these people off their rockers or what? And to make matters even worse, they're basically accusing the actual doctors of being in on the hoax. This is what I was talking about. These people cannot be trusted. Not by any measure of the word. Because they have an agenda. And that agenda is not good for America. It's only good for the leftists. For those Democrats who want to take over America to continue the project of fundamentally transforming the United States of America into a socialist nation. So, please, don't take what they say as true. And don't listen to all the conspiracy theories. Because they're lying to you. Feel like there should be platform shoes on everybody who likes this music. It is the Monday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Sliding into the final segment for this Monday. Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, announced over the weekend that all previously scheduled floor activity would be rescheduled until after October 19. His statement was tweeted by Voice of America Washington Bureau Chief Steve Herman. Bloomberg reporter Stephen Dennis provided more context, adding that McConnell said the Supreme Court confirmation hearings for Trump nominee Coney Barrett will continue as scheduled on October 12th. Dennis reports McConnell is separately seeking consent from Democrats to have the Senate go on hiatus until October 19th. Further reporting suggests McConnell will allow all committees to continue their work, not just the judiciary, which oversees Barrett's hearings. As soon as three Republican senators were diagnosed with the coronavirus, Democrats began calling for a delay on Barrett's confirmation hearings, something they opposed as soon as former Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away on September 18th. As the Daily Wire's Tim Pierce reported Saturday morning, two of the three GOP senators, Mike Lee of Utah, Tom Tillis of North Carolina, are on the Senate Judiciary Committee, which is responsible for moving Barrett's nomination to the Senate for a vote. Pierce reports, Committee Chairman Senator Lindsey Graham has said he needs both men back in the chamber by October 15th, when the committee is expected to take up debate on the nomination. That's according to CNN. If the senators don't return to vote Barrett's nomination out of committee, Democrats on the committee may boycott the vote in an attempt to stall the nomination, which needs a majority of members present to have a quorum and move forward. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell may move the nomination out of committee anyway. We're already seeing this happen, by the way. We're seeing Democrat after Democrat refuse to participate. And they know, and if you've been wondering why they're doing this, not just a show of, well, I don't approve. I'm going back to my room. I'm taking my toys and going home. It's because it's a strategy. They know that enough of them, if enough of them refuse to participate, there's no quorum and things can't move forward. This is what they're trying to do. They're trying to keep things from happening until the election. And the election is key because they all firmly believe that they've got everything set up to defeat Trump. This is why. Well, why the election, Trump's? Well, these people all believe wholeheartedly that they've rigged everything successfully, just like they believed in 2016 that they'd rigged everything successfully so that Trump could not win. They couldn't win. Mm-hmm. Democrats have demanded to hold the nomination until after the November 3rd election to see if Trump loses re-election. While they've claimed McConnell should follow his own statement when delaying President Barack Obama's 2016 court nominee, Democrats fail to note that at that time, Democrats controlled the White House, but Republicans controlled the Senate. Now Republicans control both the White House and the Senate. And despite Democrat claims that Republicans are rushing the nomination, three former Supreme Court justices, including Ginsburg, were confirmed in fewer than 45 days. Which is how many days before the election Ginsburg passed away. As the Daily Wire previously reported, Ginsburg was nominated and confirmed in 42 days. While the Washington Post tried to claim that the Senate timeline for confirming Barrett was unprecedented, the Daily Wire reported that was demonstrably false. If confirmation hearings begin on October 12th and a vote is held on October 23rd, the time between hearings and vote would be 11 days. By comparison, the vote to confirm Ginsburg took place 13 days after her confirmation hearings began. So, once again, they're misrepresenting things. They're lying to us about things in the mainstream press. And now they're using, as I said earlier, COVID infections to delay the process. And by the way, I would be derelict in my duties if I didn't point out this is one of the conspiracy theories floating around, that somehow these people have been intentionally infected to delay the nomination, and that the president was intentionally infected to hamper his reelection chances. While that makes good a good spy novel or possibly a Netflix movie, in real life, that's a big stretch. A big stretch. It's fun to play with, but let's get back to the real world, okay? Now, some people in politics are playing with COVID-19 for political benefit. House Minority Whip Steve Scalise claimed Saturday that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has thwarted efforts to conduct widespread coronavirus testing on Capitol Hill. The allegations come as Senate Democrats attempt to use COVID-19 infections circulating between Pennsylvania Avenue and Capitol Hill to delay Amy Coney Barrett's Senate confirmation. Representative Rodney Davis, a Republican from Illinois, the ranking member on the House Committee on House Administration, has been urging Pelosi to implement a comprehensive health monitoring system and testing program for Capitol Hill campus in order to help them do their job, do their part to stop the spread of the coronavirus. But she has so far refused to take action. This according to Steve Scalise talking to Fox and Friends. He says, I mean, these proposals have been out there and the testing capabilities have been out there for a long time. They were offered to the speaker and she turned it down. I think it's something that should have been in Congress for a few weeks now, but ultimately that's what the speaker decided to do. Three Republican senators, Mike Lee, Tom Tillis, and Ron Johnson, have all tested positive for COVID-19. The development is significant because it may indicate a COVID-19 outbreak among lawmakers over the coming weeks. More importantly, Lee and Tillis are two senators who sit on the Senate Judiciary Committee and will have a role to play in Barrett's confirmation, those hearings beginning next week. Consequently, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is attempting to use the virus outbreak to delay Barrett's confirmation process. In a joint statement on Friday, Schumer said, and Senator Dianne Feinstein, the Democrat from California, who's in her 80s, the ranking member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, they said, this already illegitimate process will become a dangerous one if Barrett's confirmation hearings are not temporarily delayed. It's critical that Chairman Lindsey Graham put the health of senators, the nominee, and staff first and ensure a full and fair hearing that is not rushed, not truncated, and not virtual. That's interesting. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said Saturday that Barrett's confirmation hearings will proceed as scheduled. In a statement, he said he would seek consent agreement for the Senate to meet in pro forma sessions for the next 2 weeks. If Democrats agree, Senate floor activity would be halted until at least October 19th, but McConnell said Barrett's confirmation process would be unaffected by any delay. Now, I think it's interesting that Schumer and Feinstein said they want to ensure a full and fair hearing that is not rushed, not truncated, and not virtual. Because they've been doing things in the virtual in the House for some time now. They've been doing things remotely for some time now. But the Democrats are in charge there, and they don't want the Republicans to have the same benefit. Interesting. As I said, they're playing politics. This is all political. It's all political. You don't need the conspiracy theories to see the lunacy that's going on in Washington, D.C. You just don't. The politicians are playing games. It's interesting that the same people who tell us masks protect us, you must wear masks, the same people who would, if they could, implement a national mask mandate, unconstitutional, but they'd do it, they would implement a mask mandate nationwide requiring every person to wear a mask in certain situations, in certain scenarios. These same people who believe so wholeheartedly, so strongly in masks, even their presidential candidate has said he would implement a national mask mandate. These people who believe so strongly that they would force the American people to wear masks don't believe in them enough to work together when everyone's wearing a mask. That's another one of those things that makes you go, And that's who we're dealing with. They're talking out of both sides of their mouth. They're telling us one thing and doing something else. It's all situational. Their ethics have always been situational. It depends on what they're fighting for or what they're fighting against. Their positions are fluid. They're inconsistent. And it's all based on their need at the moment. So if masks are so wonderful and they can protect us, then why don't they all just wear masks and go to work? And why won't they let us all wear masks and go to work? Why? In Democrat-controlled states across the nation, today, people are suffering. As I talked about last week, in California, probably the most high-profile case, California. Right now, businesses are packing and moving. They're leaving because of the insanity of the government in California. Right now, a significant number of the 28,000 Disney employees who are losing their jobs are in California, 75% of them. Will be losing their jobs in California. All because leftist government is not operating in the real world. They have forest fires raging out of control. But a state like Texas with more forest land isn't having any forest fires. So California's mismanaging everything and harming the people. And Democrats would do the same on the national scale. Oh, I just looked at the clock. Time to go. Have a great Monday. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.